For decades, milk has been fueling women marathon runners as the OG performance drink. And in the new docuseries, Running Sucks, brought to you by Team Milk, Abby Ayers takes us on a journey of self-discovery as she meets several groups of empowered women runners to find out what drives them, what fuels them, and what pushes them to go the distance. And in the process, she learns that she, too, can be a distance runner. You can watch the series at runningsucktheseries.com and register for the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon at everywomansmarathon.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
Hey, you're listening to Intuit from Vulture and New York Magazine. I'm your host, Sam Sanders. And we're going to talk about some big pop culture stories from the week, including the latest on these Hollywood strikes that just won't seem to quit. But first, I want to introduce my guests for this episode. This one is a complete Vox takeover, and I love it. We've got Jonquilin Hill, host of the Vox podcast, The Weeds, and returning champion and friend of the show, Alex Abad-Santos, culture writer for Vox. Hello to you both.
Hi, it's so good to be here. Sam, we go back. We go way back.
We go back. Alex, you might not know this, but Jonquilin and I were cubicle buddies.
Yeah.
At NPR during the 2016 campaign cycle. We both were working on the politics desk.
So and you both have PTSD. Just,
is what you're absolutely. I'm scarred for life. I'm not okay.
Yes. That election kept the score, okay? It was, yeah.
sweet summer children.
Yes, and look at us now. Alex, you have been on the show several times. You're a friend of the show at this point. What advice would you give to Jonquilin as she makes her first appearance on Intuit?
I want to win the game, so I'm not going to give you too much advice, but basically, I would say, and you're probably going to be so much better than this than I am, but like, make Sam laugh. If you can make him laugh, you're going to win. So okay. That is my strategy.
All right. Okay. I'll try my best.
We have so many stories to get into this episode, but I have to start by telling you both where I am, which will allow us to talk about one story that just will not quit. Guess where I am right now?
I know where you are. I follow you on Instagram, so I definitely know where you are.
Where am I?
You are at a historical, oh my God, landmark?
Yes.
They ready. Big boy bumping like good game.
You know what? It is like one of the most historical events. I think one of the best historical events I've ever witnessed in my lifetime. The riverboat the scene of the riverboat? Is it Montgomery?
Are you in Montgomery?
Montgomery. I'm in Montgomery, Alabama. Scene of the riverboat massacre of 2023.
Say hi to
scene
my cousins.
Fade in the water.
Say hi to all my cousins.
I never saw the chair. There was no chair.
I can't even spell chair, so that's what that is.
So, y'all all have seen by now, last weekend, some white boaters tried to give a black security guard dock worker some grief when he asked them to move their boat to allow for the big ship, the Harriet II, to come to its spot on the dock. These white boaters confronted the guy, began to beat him up. But very quickly, these like black Avengers seem to come out of nowhere and protect the security guard and fight off the white people. One dude swam across the water. Another dude brought in a folding chair. This was the brawl seen around the world. By an amazing turn of events, I am in Montgomery this week because my Aunt Betty just moved back home to Alabama, And she lives now just outside of Montgomery. So I was able to be in Montgomery in the aftermath of the boat attack. And I went down to the dock yesterday.
Wait, how did that feel? Was like there electricity in the air? Like, did you feel it like on your skin? Like,
I just felt like the ancestors. Sizzle? I felt
the ancestors. That is amazing.
It was incredible.
Did you like, did one single tear like roll down your eye?
Yo, I was like so, I felt like I was in, okay, I'm trying to think of an apt comparison. You know how like every few years in Catholicism, there is a miracle that happens that everyone has to come and see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like this statue of the Virgin Mary is shedding real tears and everyone's like, I gotta go see it. This is what the dock feels like. When I went down there yesterday, there were just black people showing up to see.
I love that.
Just showing up to walk around and look. It truly is. People are making pilgrimage to the dock. It's incredible.
I mean, it is a miracle. It was a miracle of like, it was a wonder of the world. Like, I can't stop watching it.
It
was so epic. Like, first of all, you know, I know violence is not the answer, but back in the day, I was very much a girl who would watch World Star videos in her dorm room. Like that.
World Star hip hop?
Yeah.
World Star.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, that's like, whenever I see a fight, like, I have to fight myself to not yell it out. But y'all, it was, oh, wow, a good old fashioned get down. A good old fashioned. And the thing you have to understand is I was coming off of the week prior, I was at the convention for the National Association of Black Journalists. Then I saw Beyonce in concert, and then I saw the fight footage, and I was like, wow. Oh,
this was your Black History Month.
I was,
this was your Black History Month.
10s across the board. Wow. What a time to be alive.
So this fight, if you haven't seen it yet, listeners, just go Google Riverboat Brawl. You'll find it. But what I love the most about this story is that it just won't die. Like, it's still a trending topic. There are t-shirts now. There are reenactments that I've seen online. Even Miss Cheryl Lee Ralph has gotten involved. Have y'all seen her little clip about this?
No. What?
She's in some TikTok or some Instagram video, and they ask her about the Riverboat Brawl, and she starts singing the melody to the Negro National Anthem, but she sings, "Lift Every Chair and Swing."
Oh, my gosh.
Lift every chair and swing.
Just an icon of legend. An icon of legend.
When it happened, so I sent the video immediately to my parents because I'm on Twitter. They are not. And they were like, wow, this is wow. And it's funny because then their friends texted them a few days later because it finally made it to Facebook. And my mom was like, oh, we already were in the know. And people were like, how did you know? And she's like, you know. I'm on top of it.
I love how there's like so many different angles that keep coming out. Like you're just like, oh, just when you think that it's over, it's like, here's another angle. And of course I'm going to sit down and watch the other angles. Like, and it's always like a dramatic turn. I'm always like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know what's going to happen when the tide turns. And I'm just like, I just need like a full orchestra moment.
Yes. Well, and then here's the thing. I actually was in some airport waiting for my connecting flight to get to Montgomery. And there were these two very nice white women sitting next to me also on their way to Montgomery. And they were trying to make small talk. And I was like, sure. And then they were like, you know what you're coming to, right? You saw that video of the fight. And I said, Lord, let me be quiet because I don't know what side they're on.
Mm.
And I said, yeah, I saw the video. And they said, what do you think? And I just looked at them and they looked at me and I said, I kind of think those white folks deserved it. And then it was quiet. Then they both go, yeah, they sure did. And then we were friends.
It was kind of crazy because like, okay. I mean, like part of it was just like, how did these white people keep getting up? Like, and you're just like, wow.
Racism is strong.
Racism is strong. So strong.
Also, I will say all of the people who I've been seeing getting tattoos of folding chairs. Yes. If this moment in cultural history ends up in a TV show or a movie, who do you hope does the treatment? Like, I would love to, like, if Insecure were still on the air, I would have loved to have seen what Issa Rae would have done with this moment.
Yeah, that would have been perfect. I'm trying to think. If Donald Glover were still doing Atlanta, this would
This would be an episode of Atlanta.
Absolutely an episode of Atlanta.
Alex, who do you think should give the Riverboat Brawl the Hollywood treatment?
Jordan Peele.
Yes. The movie is not called Get Out. It's called Get Up. Get up. Take some mo. Okay, we gotta move on.
It would be from like the riverboat worker, like his long ass day. Like that's where it would start. Like,
yes.
Like opening scene, long ass day.
And he is like the modern Rosa Parks. He's like, I had a long day. I've
in
been
Montgomery.
Through it all. You're not going to F with me.
We're going to get wide shots. We're going to get sweat shots. We're going to get, like, it's just going to be, like, it's like Nope, but, like, the aliens are the white people.
Yes. Right? Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yes.
Man, Jordan Peele does the riverboat. Y'all, you heard it here first.
There can be multiple treatments. I would watch every single version.
That needs to be a miniseries. Yeah. Like, get Issa... get Jordan Peele, get, you know, Ava DuVernay, grab all the people.
You know who I would get to do it, but I would supervise so hard. I would supervise so hard. Uh-oh. Quentin Tarantino directs it, and Samuel L. Jackson is the riverboat guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I got to watch Quentin, because he can be a little out of pocket sometimes. I got
to
watch
him. Yeah, we would definitely have to be like, we need a sensitivity reader.
No, you'd be just like, why are you? We don't need feet, Quentin.
No one needs to see.
We don't need to see Caucasian feet. Why are there Caucasian feet on the screen?
The woman with the chair, he's just zooming in on her feet the whole time.
All right, more with Alex Abad-Santos and Jonquillen Hill after the break. And also, while I'm here, let me ask you, as I always do, to give this show a rating and a review. There's talk of a pizza party if we get to enough ratings and reviews, and devoted listeners know that I want to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Help make Chuck E. Cheese a reality for me. Rate and review. Thank you.
Fox Creative.
This is advertiser content from 26.2 Team Milk and their new docuseries, Running Sucks.
Is running the worst?
Yeah.
Do you love it? Do you hate it?
I hate it so much. I hate it so freaking much.
That you're a real runner now!
I hate it.
I'm Abby Ayers, a 37-year-old mom from Utah who found herself running across the Manhattan Bridge in my first race ever.
Running Sucks celebrates women who run and the running communities that carry them across the finish line.
Running helped me in so many ways postpartum.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
For every person like you, I'm telling you, you belong, and I'm telling you, you can do it.
I never thought the words would leave my mouth, but yes, I'm planning on running a marathon. I can't even say it without laughing, because, like, who would have thought?
Watch Running Sucks at runningsucktheseries.com and learn more about how Team Milk is helping women runners across the country conquer their next course.
In a lot of ways, the leader of Canada is not like the leader of the United States. Justin is 52, Joe is 81, but the two do share some struggles. Trudeau's been in office for a while, he's being challenged by a conservative populist, and he's struggling in the polls, especially with young people. But now, he's got a plan to fix it, all of it.
Among the $52.9 billion in new spending,
proposing a $23 billion program to get nearly 4 million homes built between now and 2031.
He's got a budget that speaks directly to millennials and Gen Z, or Gen Z as he calls them, and he's hoping it'll keep populism at bay in Canada too. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is going to join us on Today Explained to tell us all about it. Today Explained, Vox's daily news podcast, Monday through Friday, in your feeds.
With the riverboat out of the way, we're going to play a game. Alex has played it many times. It's called Into It, Not Into It. And because he's done it a few times, and Jonquillen, it's your first time, I'll let Alex explain the game to you.
Ooh.
Oh, no. So Sam is going to give us three big news stories of the week. And we have to convince him whether we're into it or not into it. And it's just like, okay, well, do we like this? Do we not like this? And we have to make a convincing argument for Sam, who has his own opinion. And I think at the end of the game, Sam, I guess, gives us a prize, which is just bragging, right?
The winner this time is guaranteed an EP credit in our Riverboat screen.
Ooh.
So let's start, shall we?
Let's do it.
First question. Are y'all into or not into Jeopardy announcing that due to the ongoing writer's strike, that they will start recycling questions? Yes, using old questions in new episodes of Jeopardy. Into it or not? Tell me.
I'm not into it for like a couple of reasons. One, y'all, it's a writer's strike. The whole point is so y'all are not making content. And also,
there you go.
Recycling content so we know the answers. It's going to be too easy. Like, we need challenges. We need more. Like, this is defeating the entire purpose of Jeopardy.
So you would have liked for them just to not make new shows.
Yeah, air some reruns. It's above you now.
That.
Yeah.
I get that. Alex?
I'm a union man, and I'm part of the Writers Guild.
Gang, gang.
On the news team, so we're not really affected by it, but we are in solidarity sticking with our writers who do TV. And no, I'm not into this. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's giving cross the picket line energy.
Yeah.
It's giving scab.
Yeah.
All this came about. All of this was in the news this week because the showrunner of Jeopardy was on the Jeopardy podcast, Inside Jeopardy. Yes, such a podcast exists. And on the show, he was basically saying, here's our conundrum. We can't have new material written for the show. And so we're not going to have new contestants. So they're going to have old questions and also returning players. So the first few episodes in the new season are going to be second chance episodes for players from season 37 who lost their first games. And when those players come in for these new episodes in the fall, the questions will be a combo of material that WGA writers wrote before the strike and material that has been, quote, redeployed from multiple seasons of the show. Feels weird.
Sam, it's giving loser energy.
If you end up answering a question you already answered before? Like, where's the challenge? I would just, like, y'all need to cobble together some best ofs.
Right.
Some greatest hits. Give us like favorite Alex Trebek moments.
Her favorite type of music is something I've never heard of, but it doesn't sound like fun.
I think it's very fun. It's called nerdcore hip hop. It's
nerdcore hip hop.
Yes. It's people who identify as nerdy rapping about the things they love: video games, science fiction, having a hard time meeting romantic partners. You know, it's really catchy and fun.
Losers, in other words.
Well,
it's a clip. You need to give a clip show.
Yeah, I would love a clip show.
I'm partly into it in that, like, you're watching the effect of the strike, right? Like, this is a TV show that is squirming. Mm-hmm. Part of me wants to see them squirm some more, but doesn't really like how they're doing it. So I'm into it in theory because the strike is working, but like, look how slimy these people are being.
Yeah. The strike is working. And the strike is also, at this point, a marathon. So the writer's strike, which began before the actor's strike, it reached 100 days on Wednesday. This is a big deal. Industry watchers say that they see no end in sight. Many expect this thing to go on at least until the fall. This is wild. So many TV shows and movies have been pushed back already. The Emmys have been delayed, and now they're set to run in January of 2024. Like, this is a big deal, but I also still wonder how much all of America is paying attention to this. You know, if you just watch streaming content, if you're just on Netflix, you would never know. If you're a late night fan, if you're a Jeopardy fan, you'll see it. But I don't know. Do y'all think America is paying attention yet to these strikes? Really paying attention?
I don't think the majority of people will realize probably until the fall when, you know, their favorite shows don't come back.
When Abbott doesn't come back.
When when things like Abbott Elementary don't come back. When all of these different shows don't come back. I think that's the moment where it's going to be like, oh. But I will say, because, I mean, I'm not going to name no names, but I saw a trailer for a reality piece of television, like a documentary, and I was like, oh, y'all are going through it already. Like, clearly, you're feeling the writer's strike. But what's interesting, it's so interesting that the studios think that the writers are going to give in, because the thing is, y'all weren't paying these people anyway. They've been broke.
They were already broke. They were already broke.
Like, they are not new to this. They are true to this. Like, baby, we are here. It's the same. It's the same picture.
Yeah. Well, listen, people are not stopping. These strikes in Hollywood have no end in sight, it seems. And if you're in L.A. right now, it's strike central. Mm-hmm. In Southern California, hotel workers are striking. L.A. city workers had a one-day work stoppage. It is, as the kids say down here in California, a hot labor summer. That's what they're calling it in L.A.
The girls are striking.
Yes.
John Hamm was there. How are you going to root against, like, you're making me choose between Bob Iger and John Hamm? Like, don't make, like, give me, say less. Say less.
Yeah. Listeners, stay with us. More of The Game with Alex and Jonquilin. And also, I want to remind you to keep reading the book The Late Americans by Brandon Taylor. It's for our first Intuit book club. I'm reading this book. You should, too. Send us your questions and comments about the book for Brandon or for me to Intuit@Vulture.com. Intuit@Vulture.com. And at the end of August, we'll talk about the book and your questions with Brandon himself. All right.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Hey, everyone. This is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the streaming wars. And there's a new docuspecial on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
Next question. Are y'all into or not into the cha-cha slide?
Oh, I'm so into it.
Deeply into it. Rest in peace. Clap, clap,
clap, clap your hands. I bring this up because DJ Casper, inventor of the cha-cha slide, he passed away this week at the age of 58. RIP, Casper, we love you, we'll miss you. So y'all like this dance?
I love it. The thing about it is, if I'm at a function and you're like, hey, it's time for a line dance, I'm there. The only exception is the Tamia one, and that's because
that's too
I'm
hard.
Still,
that's too hard.
It's the second half. When I think about you,
I think about giving myself to you. One, a line dance shouldn't have a second half. It's supposed to be easy. A second
half. It's an 8-count. It's an 8-count. It just needs to be an 8-count.
That dance is wild. I'm like, to me, a girl, why'd you do this?
Also,
this is all you and Grant Hill had going on.
Why am
house?
I having That's to great. Think about Tamia in 2023?
Well,
I'm sorry. Bless her. Bless her. Anywho, we're going to talk about some more dances.
I love the cha-cha slide. I love any line dance. Family reunion, birthday party, wedding. Oh, I was actually at my family reunion this past summer. And we were in Detroit, and you know, mm-hmm. the city of Detroit loves a line dance.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but everyone who great migrated to Detroit is like, give me an 8 count, let's go.
I don't know if you know this, but Filipinos love a line dance.
Ooh.
At weddings, really? We love a line dance. And I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be good at dancing, but I love like a dance that's like, do this, do that.
Mm-hmm. Right foot, let's stop. Left foot, let's stop.
I will absolutely do this and do that. I'm not as good at the Cupid shuffle. I'm not as good at the wobble. I'm like terrible at the wobble.
I always forget the wobble. I'll like think I know the wobble and I'm like, damn it, I forgot it. And then by the end of the song, I'm like, I remember it now.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
I feel like the four core line dances are, of course, there's the electric slide, a classic. Mm-hmm. The cha-cha slide, wobble, and Cupid shuffle. Like, those are the four line dances where it's
baby, you forgot the chicken dance.
Is that considered a line dance?
I don't know, but people do it at weddings.
That is true.
I agree with her Rushmore of line dancers.
True,
that is a Rushmore.
True. I would say my ranking, even though I always forget it, I like the wobble the most because it separates the wheat from the chaff, the good from the bad.
Yeah, that is true.
Not everybody can wobble. Not everybody can wobble. So wobbles
you find out within the first like.
Exactly. You find out. Wobble, Cupid shuffle, cha-cha slide, electric slide. Chicken dance. That's mine.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What are y'all?
That makes sense. I would say electric slide, but it has to be to Candy by Cameo. Like, ooh, that is what you have to do it to.
Yeah, that is the. It's like candy.
I can feel it when you want. And in fact, at the Beyonce concert, she did that. And I was like, I'm doing the electric slide with Beyonce right now. That's crazy.
Yeah, you are.
Then I would say the cha-cha slide. I also love when it gets extended, like Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown.
Jumping back and forth. I'm like, I don't even know. Is this what Charlie Brown is? I don't know. And then I would say Cupid Shuffle, but that's mainly because that's my mama's jam. Ooh, my mama loves a Cupid Shuffle. And then the wobble last.
The wobble has the best track. I like the track for the wobble.
Yes.
Alex, what's your list? Your Mount Rushmore.
Oh, I would say Cupid Shuffle first.
Oh.
And then the cha-cha slide.
Okay.
Then the wobble, like you said, sounds the best. Electric slide. I find the chicken dance just like there's like an undertone of hostility and violence in the chicken dance.
What?
It just comes off as very hostile, like very hostile Caucasian to me. Like, why are they flapping their arms like that, like, so much?
And that
like,
is the least hostile Caucasian thing.
No, but, like, in the terms of line dancing, it is very hostile. Some of that body language just comes off so aesthetically unpleasant to me.
Did you guys have to do the Cotton Eye Joe?
Oh, no. We are free at last, baby. We're not doing that.
It was when I took gym class freshman year of high school. We had like a dance thing and we did several dances. Like we did like the Cupid Shuffle, all of that. Also the Cotton Eye Joe.
Wow. I just like,
I do not remember.
I just need to know exactly who Cotton Eye Joe is because I hear that name and I just imagine he was on the wrong side of history.
Yeah. Why says I made a cotton? That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's suspicious.
And who picked the cotton that became his eye?
Wait, what does the dance even look like?
It's like you do swing your partner round and round at some point.
So remember that thing I was talking about? The undertone of hostility, of Caucasian hostility. I think it might be in Cotton Eye Joe. I don't even know what it looks like.
If I see Cotton Eye Joe, I will have the folding chair on me. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe. What if somebody set the fight on the dock to the music of the Cha Cha Slide?
I would love that.
The DJ
when they
Casper
say Cha Cha Road now.
Funky.
DJ Casper at it. Band.
And this yeah. time,
featuring
Clap to Get Funky.
clap your hands. Yeah. Funky. Everybody clap your hands.
Allegedly.
Take it back now, y'all. All right, now. We're going to do the basic step. To the left.
Take it back now, y'all. One hop this time. Last question for y'all. Are you into or not into Disney Plus and Hulu raising their prices again in the middle of this actors and writers strike? On October 12th, they've announced Disney Plus will raise the cost of its service to $13.99 per month. Hulu's no ads tier will go to $17.99. And the ad-sponsored tiers of both services will remain at $7.99.
I'm not into it because I'm tired of spending money. Like, I, at this point, between YouTube TV...
You pay like, for YouTube TV?
Yeah, I do. It's,
for what?
I gotta,
you are too old. We are not in that generation. You're a millennial.
I know.
We don't do that.
But, like, honestly, it's sports, news, and reality TV. Like, okay. Those are the things where I'm like, I have to watch them live. Mm-hmm. But between, like, all of that, I'm just like, this is basically a cable. Like, the way y'all are raising prices, this is a cable bill. And you're not paying the writers, so why are you raising the prices?
Mm-hmm. Well,
what's the reason?
Go. Yeah. Alex, what about you?
Like, be serious. Like, you, like don't make me pay $17 for a service called Hulu. That's not so deeply humiliating. I'm spending $20 a month on Hulu. Like, at least change the name to give me some kind of, like, respect.
Can I tell y'all my Hulu story? And I have been rocking with Hulu from the start. I actually like Hulu a lot. I even liked the Hulu show Reboot, which nobody watched. I loved it. Months ago, I ended up with friends for, like, an Oscar night or a Grammy night watch party. And for whatever reason, what they thought they could play it on, they weren't able to play it on that service or streamer. So I was like, it's okay. Let me log into your TV on my Hulu, and we'll watch it through the live Hulu thing. The live feature for Hulu is, like, with the other stuff, make sure Hulu bill, like, $90 a month.
Oh,
I forgot
gosh.
To take the live thing off after we watched this award show live on Hulu. Mm-hmm. And I was charged $90 a month for Hulu for, like, 6 months.
Did you watch anything else live? Were you like,
no!
No! Time to watch basketball like
the more
that?
When I think about it, Hulu owes me a check. Hulu should pay me $17 a month. Come on.
I mean, you did plug Reboot, so.
I love Reboot. I really love that show.
It was
I
very
really
good. But yeah, but like the residuals, we know now people get paid nothing. And it's just like, well, where are you doing this just to, because there
where's this money going?
Yeah. Is it to cover the bases that you're already of the money that you're already losing?
Yeah. Well, to add insult to injury, on top of Disney Plus and Hulu upping their prices, they've also announced that they're going to crack down on password sharing too.
See, that's going to affect me personally because that Disney Plus, shout out to all my friends for holding down that Disney Plus. But I will say, for instance, because when Netflix cracked down on password sharing, because my parents and I, we have a very symbiotic relationship with all of our streaming services. Mm-hmm. Shout out to them for the Max account. It just got to the point where my dad was like, well, I guess I won't watch They Clone Tyrone. And it, like, my thing is like, then I just won't watch Moana. Like, sorry. I'm not paying for this.
See, but you don't have kids. If you have children who love Disney content, you will pay whatever it takes for Disney content, right?
That's true. That's very true.
Alex, how much would you pay for Disney content?
How much can I expense?
That's real.
That part. The game is ended. I have to declare a winner of this game, And you know what? We kind of agreed on everything. You both made me laugh. You both are super funny and cool and smart. So if that's a tie, I'm going to say that the real winner of this game this week is Shirley Ralph for Lift Every Chair and Swing.
Yeah.
She's the winner. Hollywood in these strikes. Yeah. So
the riverboat workers are the winner.
The riverboat workers, yes, yes. The folding chair.
MVP.
MVP.
Proud Mary, keep on burning.
Alex Jonquilin, this was so much fun. I'll see y'all soon down by the riverboat.
Thanks for having me.
This was so fun.
All right, Intuit is hosted by me, Sam Sanders. The show is produced by Janae West, Travis Larchuk, Gabi Grossman, Jelani Carter, Taka Zinn, and Oluwa Kimi Aladesui. Our fearless editors are Jordana Hochman and Jolie Myers. Our engineer is Daniel Turek. Our music is composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. And the executive producer of audio at Vox Media is Nishant Kurwa. Listeners, we're back on Tuesday with a brand new episode. Till then, go cha-cha slide, or wobble, or electric slide, maybe even chicken dance. Whatever feels good to you. Okay, bye.
Why do you run? Why does anyone?
I always thought that runners loved running, and that's not the case. Most runners hate running, but they choose to do it.
In the new docuseries, Running Sucks, brought to you by Team Milk, Abby Ayers learns why women runners everywhere are driven to go the distance.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
Team Milk is about fueling women's performance and helping them along their marathon journeys. You can sign up now for the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon, taking place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16th, 2024. Learn more and register at everywomansmarathon.com.